And now, your go-to source for year-round fantasy hockey advice, DFS and betting coverage. This is NHL Fantasy on Ice, presented by Skip, the official food delivery app of the NHL.
What's going on, everybody? Thursday morning, NHL Fantasy on Ice, delivered by our good friends over at Skip, Pete Jensen, Nick Alberga, back with you. Nick, what's going on, man? Tage Thompson, that's all I can say, two words.
Yeah, that's pretty much it. Skip, the official food delivery app of the NHL, don't forget about that. Yeah, I'm out of superlatives to describe this guy, so we actually brought in a guest to talk more about him. So happy to bring in the managing editor, senior writer, and fantasy contributor for Daily Faceoff, and also the host of the brand spanking new Puck Poolies podcast alongside Stephen Ellis. It is Matt Larkin. Larks, thanks so much for doing this, buddy.
Oh, it's my pleasure, Nick and Pete. I'm a big fan of both of you. Even though I'm a fantasy guy, I still constantly steal advice and notes from you too. So it's an honor to be on the show talking fantasy with two of my favorites.
Let's jump right into the conversation. Tage Thompson. You know, I, for one, and I came on your podcast, the first ever episode the other day, and I said that I was dead wrong. In fact, I pretty much called him a fraud in the offseason, and he's proved me otherwise. Like, this is insane, right?
It's unbelievable. And of course, yes, there was the first round pedigree, but it's not like he's 20 years old breaking out in his second season in the league. It was reaching the point of if it's going to happen or if it was going to happen, it would have happened by now with Tage Thompson. And of course, that's why there were constant barbs thrown at Jason Botterill at the end of his tenure for the Ryan O'Reilly trade. Now everybody is re-auditing that trade because Thompson has been unbelievable. And of course, last year he looked legitimate. There was real chemistry with Alex Tuch and Jeff Skinner there. But it was just the one year, and I almost think the contract he signed in the offseason created the backlash. If he didn't have that contract that brought those expectations, I don't think people would be litigating whether he was legitimate or not after that one season. They'd say, okay, this is great progress. But it put that extra layer of expectation on his shoulders coming into the season, and we saw he was pressing in the first several games there, right? So maybe he was feeling that. All of a sudden, something just clicked. And I love when people throw around the term unicorn, and that's what he is. He's got this enormous wingspan. He's so skilled. It's hard to find another player who's similar to Tage Thompson. He's just a freak out there.
Absolutely. With the big frame and the dangling and the power shot, and he's pretty fast, and the Buffalo Sabres leading the NHL in goals per game. So there's an entire ripple effect. The power play is a lead as well. He's one of only four players who have scored five goals in a game over the past decade in the NHL. Others, Timo Meier, Mika Zibanejad, and Patrick Laine. So really elite company there. And I want to ask you, Matt, just from a broad strokes perspective on Tage Thompson, if the Buffalo Sabres keep this rolling, they've overcome that long losing streak. If they keep this rolling and they somehow make the playoffs, thanks to this, you know, high-powered offense, is there a little love for Tage Thompson in the futures market for MVP? Is it a possibility?
I think it's a possibility. And again, I'm a voter, so I have a tiny little ability to influence that vote as well.
You're thinking about it, yeah.
Exactly. But there would be shades of Taylor Hall in 2017-18, right? When you have one player who pretty much wills his team to the playoffs. And I think Taylor Hall had something like 50 points or 40 points more than his next closest teammate that year. And of course, there's always going to be the debate. Is it the best player award? Is it the most valuable player award? So if people lean toward the best player, of course, it's going to be Connor McDavid, still in the driver's seat. But if people sort of take the award as a purist by the definition, most valuable to his team, McDavid's always going to have the Leon Draisaitl effect that sort of splits that vote and drags him down a little bit because he's got the elite company on that team. So I do think there would be some juice. I don't know if there's any stopping Connor McDavid this year. He might just pull away from the pack. But I absolutely think in terms of a futures bet, for sure, I think there's some validity there for Tage Thompson.
And seriously, as we move forward and forwards, you start to wonder if Austin Matthews is going to be able to get back in the conversation for the Rock or Richard. Do you remember a time that American hockey has been this hot? Everywhere I look, man, like there's an American sniper, you know, whether it be Jason Robertson, whether it be Tage Thompson, Austin Matthews, the list goes on and on. It's pretty crazy right now.
It's unbelievable. And then, of course, you have the Tkachuk brothers as well. Yeah. And on defense, you have Quinn Hughes, Adam Fox. The list goes on and on. Jake Oettinger and Nett now emerging as a star. The U.S. Connor Hellebuck as well. And it's funny, Nick, Frank Cervalli and I, before the sad news came out about the World Cup being pushed back, we had projected a roster for the US and for Canada for 2024. And we both felt that the US should go into the tournament as the favorite. I really do believe that. I think you're seeing the fruits of the labor with the US national team development program over the last 20, 25 years now. And the US just has a better program top to bottom. They're churning out more stars at every position, especially in goal. And yeah, I think this is the peak of American hockey in terms of just the talent pool. And if you don't think the US has caught Canada, then I think you've got the blinders on.
Well, Buffalo is definitely one of the best US markets when they're rocking and rolling, and they certainly are right now. Dylan Cousins, fourth straight multi-point game. He's only 53% rostered in Yahoo Fantasy, so might still be out there in a shallow league. And Matt, I wanted to ask you one last Sabres related questions. Ukko-Pekka-Luukkonen is the goalie right now. Do you have any interest with so much goal support that he's getting each night?
I have some interest. I think at least in a deep league, he could be a bench stash. The problem is the Sabres are just such high event hockey right now that anyone who's starting for them is going to be blitzed a little bit. So maybe you got a chance at some wins, but you're going to be, I think, maybe a liability in the rate stat categories, whether it's save percentage or goals against average. You are going to get a lot of shots. If your league counts shots, fair enough. But also there's a crowded goaltending picture, I think, long-term in Buffalo. So Ukko-Pekka-Luukkonen a couple years ago was considered one of the best goaltending prospects in the world. Now he's got a lot of competition in that system, if you're thinking long-term, Pete. So I think Devon Levi is still going to be the guy who takes over that crease. I know he's undersized, but he's just been unbelievable at the college level. So I just don't know what the long-term trajectory is for Ukko-Pekka-Luukkonen. Of course, Eric Comrie earlier in the season had some juice. Craig Anderson is still going to be stealing starts here and there. So I'm not as excited as I thought I would have been a couple years ago. I was very high on Luukkonen a couple years ago. Right now, it's sort of a wait and see.
When you score 9 goals in a game, we give you like 10 minutes of airtime here in NHL Fantasy on Ice. So I got a follow-up. Let's get into the Calder conversation. Let's do it. Jack Quinn, a 5-game point streak, 3 goals, 3 assists. He's notched at least a point in 8 of his last 9 outings since eating popcorn in the press box for back-to-back games. Is he back in the conversation? And to that point, how would you handicap the Calder combo right now, Matt?
Yeah, I think he's creeping into the conversation. If you just look at statistical sample, he might be a little too far behind in terms of the ability to accumulate stats and catch up. Kind of like what we saw with Matt Boldy last year. He sort of came on late, right? And then the numbers were great by the time he stuck with the team. But the sample size was too small for him to be a real Calder contender. So Jack Quinn would have to be really hot, I think, for the rest of the season. He is capable of it. If you go back to his days as an Ottawa 67s prospect, this kid is legit. We were talking about him on the first edition of Puck Poolies. And just when you see someone that has the first round pedigree, who scores at every level. And again, I'm going to make the Matt Boldy comparison. Jack Quinn made it look easy in the AHL. He had 61 points in, I think, 45 games. And the AHL is not a high scoring league per se. That is a ridiculous point per game pace for a rookie in his first long-term look as a pro in the AHL. So the pedigree is real, and I don't consider anything he's doing a fluke. This kid is a real goal scorer. I think he's got a future as the 30, maybe 40 goal scorer in the NHL. So I like him in terms of short-term and long-term fantasy prospects. If we're looking at the Calder race, I think it's going to be hard to catch someone like Matty Beniers, for example, and also Logan Thompson. Those two, I think, are separating themselves from the pack. And I think if I'm handicapping the race, it's still them, the two of them and everybody else.
Yeah, so much talk here about these upstart Sabres. Let's flip the script and let's go to the defending champs who are hurting right now, literally. So many injuries since we last talked. Nathan MacKinnon goes down. He's going to be out for a month. Matt, what are the fantasy implications of this? Because until Val Nichushkin comes back from injury, sounds like he's nearing a return. That's some good news here, but there's not a lot to be had with Colorado other than Cale Makar, Mikko Rantanen, and right, the depth scorers are, they're all on the shelf right now. It's crazy.
It's tough because when there's so much talent out of the lineup, even the good, strong players who are in the lineup, I think their upside gets dragged down a little bit because there's just less help to play with. I think if you're a team that is really far ahead, especially in a head-to-head league, it's a great time to buy low on a bunch of Colorado Avalanche players, and then you could really reap the benefits later because most of these injuries, I think, are injuries from which the players are expected to come back during the season. So you will be able to reap the rewards down the road. But right now, it's tough, especially if you've lost Nathan MacKinnon. It's hard. MacKinnon reminds me, in a sense, in terms of fantasy value, of the prime of Evgeny Malkin. in the sense that you just have to understand, even when you're drafting McKinnon, you are not getting 82 games. You are never getting 82 games. If you get 65 or 70 games, that's typical. That's a win. And you're going to get 90 plus points in that span of games. McKinnon, I think he's on pace for something like 110 points, whatever it is this season. Last 6 years, I was doing the stat the other day. He's had a 108 point scoring pace per 82 games. He's never hit 100 points in a season because he just can't get through a season healthy. His playing style is just too fast and furious. He's like shot out of a cannon out there. And I just don't think we're ever going to get the perfect Nathan McKinnon season. So I just hope when you drafted him, you took that under consideration, which I always do. That's why I always tend to rank him a little bit lower than everybody else. That said, I think he's a fun person to target right now if you're way ahead in the standings.
Yeah, because I think you can argue he maybe was having one of his best seasons period ever, right? With the point pace you mentioned. I just want to see him get to 100 points one time. And again, we rather have this guy in the second half anyway. So lick your wounds, take your time. And I think it's excellent to buy low, as you mentioned. Right now in Colorado, you look at that top six, boys. Newhook, Rantanen, Hudon, Cogliano, Confer, O'Connor. There's not really much that excites me in terms of replacement options. Maybe Confer. But I think externally, fortunately enough, Matt, there's a lot of centers out there. Like I'm targeting Matty Beniers on the waiver wire, Dylan Cousins, as we referenced, Kevin Hayes has been on fire for Philadelphia, and Jared McCann. I think that's the fortunate thing here is that McKinnon plays center, and there's a bevy of centers probably likely available on the waiver wire, right?
That's right. And I'm glad you mentioned we're going to steer the bus back to Buffalo because Dylan Cousins was the guy that I was eyeing as a potential replacement for Nathan McKinnon. He's got 12 points in his last five games. He's going nuclear. And again, this is a player, a high first round pick. The pedigree is there. So I'm not saying he's going to sustain that level of production, but when you see a big uptick there, it's something that you tend to trust. And another player with first round pedigree who qualifies center in most leagues is Cole Perfetti of the Winnipeg Jets. He's someone I think the opportunity is growing for him. He's a pretty well-rounded player. He gets a lot of shots, but he also has ability as a playmaker, and his skill set is just conducive to playing in a team's top six. So I expect the role to continue to grow there for Cole Perfetti. That's another replacement I'd keep an eye on.
Right. And Nick, you mentioned Kevin Hayes. He's one of the few guys out there that's over a point per game in the entire NHL that's so sparsely rostered, only 33% last I checked. And he scored another goal last night in the Flyers' loss. Pretty crazy. Give a look at Alex Newhook. To me, it's now or never for this guy. With all these guys missing, you really expect him to have a bigger role and maybe take the next step in his career. If it doesn't happen now, they might have to address things for the 2C spot after they get everybody back, once they can figure out the salary cap and maybe make a trade before the deadline. And then one other guy, Matt, that I like is Andrew Kopp, who's versatile, 2 assists the other day. He's got 5 points in his past 4 games for the Red Wings, who I think are a sneaky team any given night. And they proved it the other night when they picked off Tampa Bay randomly, right?
That's right. And it's funny, Pete, with Andrew Kopp, you know, I'm eating a little bit of crow there because I didn't really buy the breakout last season. And I was pretty bearish on him. He was on my shy away list going into the season, even though I know the money he got from Detroit suggested the opportunity was going to be there. But this is a player who's never scored in his life. If you go back and look at his junior stats, look at his every level he's ever played at in his career, he was not a scorer. I forget what the exact number was, but it was like he's never had a 30 goal season anywhere. And I just didn't buy the idea he was suddenly a scorer at the NHL level, even though he's a great real life player, very useful real life player, so versatile. But he just might be someone who's a late bloomer, whose skill set is better suited to the pro level, and maybe the structure you get. I know a lot of players have told me that over the years, that in the AHL, for example, it can be a harder league to play in than the NHL because it's sloppier. There's less structure. So I don't know. Maybe Andrew Kopp is just someone whose skill set was better built for the NHL.
I would love to see Detroit fully healthy, by the way. Bertuzzi, Vrana back in the mix there, because I do think they're legitimate. They're taking that next step, and the goaltending has been a consistent story, which is great to see. Looking at our mailbag, this ties in perfectly with a guy I want to ask you about, Andre Kuzmenko. We had somebody write in about him, his ceiling. Like, what is your expectation for his career? I know he can't be classified as a rookie, but this guy's on pace for, I believe, 41 goals, and just the skill set is there. You see even the pass last night to Elias Pettersson to win that game, another frantic one against the San Jose Sharks. What do you think the ceiling is in fantasy hockey for an Andre Kuzmenko, Matt?
I think it has changed significantly in the last month. And I think if you look at the history with KHL imports, it tends to be boom or bust. We all know that. and the busts are more common than the booms. So for every Artemi Panarin, there are far more Roman Cervenkas or Vadim Sapachovs, guys like that, right? But the one thing I can say is the players that bomb, and that includes someone like Nikita Gusev, they tend to bomb right away. They're thrown in the ocean and they sink. And you know very quickly that it's just not working. So the fact that it's working so well so quickly for Kuzmenko tells me he's more likely to be heading in the Panarin direction. It just shows he can hack it. And I don't see him suddenly losing that ability to fit in at the NHL level. So all of a sudden, I'm pretty in on Kuzmenko. We know, of course, he was dynamite in the KHL last year. The skill set is translated. So I'm very intrigued. And I'm not saying he's going to score 40 goals in his first rookie, pseudo rookie season, but maybe 30. Maybe we can rely on him to keep doing that going forward.
And it's amazing what Vancouver is doing offensively, even mid-game. Nick, I know you were touting your pick the other day.
Yeah.
Hats off to it against Montreal in that topsy-turvy game. They came out on top. They came back from a late deficit against the Sharks and won the game too. And yeah, it is pretty insane when you look at it was a bargain contract. Like, he only 1 year. Nobody was really thinking he was going to be a sure thing. And then all of a sudden, like, I posed the question on the Instagram page the other day. I think that he might be, with Pettersson, with the amount of time they play together, it might be the best duo in the NHL involving somebody that was either new in the offseason or changed teams. Like, maybe Krejci, Pastrnak, maybe Tkachuk and Barkov. You know, I don't know. To me, it stands out as really one of the big success stories of the offseason.
Yeah, I think they're right up there. And what's really intriguing is, you know, the Canucks, they're not fully back in the playoff picture, but they're kind of creeping up. And it's the Pettersson line that I think is really doing the heavy lifting. I'm a Pettersson owner in fantasy, so I've been paying close attention to it. And even dating back to last year, he's been producing right back at his elite level again, because I always thought this should be a 40-goal, 90-point player. I haven't looked at his last 82 games, but I think he's almost at that level over the last 82 since Bruce Boudreau came in. And now you have that instant chemistry with Kuzmenko. So I do wonder if they're going to be the duo that actually gets Vancouver back into the playoff picture. It's so topsy-turvy in the Pacific. Anything can happen.
It's a comedy act. Let's be honest. They've won 8 of the last 11 games and nobody can believe how, but they're playing Bruce Boudreau hockey where they're winning every game 6-5. Demko's on the shelf. Oakville, Spencer, Martin in between the pipes. They're just a liability defensively. They're a middling team. Let's face it. They're going to be a team that's scratching and clawing, trying to make the Stanley Cup playoffs, and they're going to be nowhere near Connor Bedard. Along those lines, you just put out an article on Brock Besser. It seems like every week a new Canuck is on the block. I think it's a publicity stunt. They're trying to shed money some way, somehow. And the next man up in the roulette chat is Brock Besser. How do you see this playing out, Matt?
Yeah, it's tough because, as everyone has indicated, it's not the easiest contract to move. He's got 4 goals in 21 games. He's not performing at his peak. The cap hit is close to $7 million. There's term left. It's not like you're getting him as a rental. So from a cap standpoint, teams have to do a lot of mental gymnastics. But I'm in the camp that believes it will happen. Just the fact that he and his agent, Ben Hankinson, have been given permission to talk to other teams, that tells us that it's pretty serious. And I'm not saying that what happened last week with Hockey Fights Cancer Night, him being scratched, caused a trade request. I think it just makes it all the more likely. It's sort of the nail in the coffin for the relationship there. I think he's someone who really needs a fresh start. I just think emotionally he's been through a lot. And as I wrote in the article, he's still a human being. People out there can say we don't feel sorry for millionaires, but he still lost his father and he's been through a lot emotionally in the last calendar year. So I do think going to a new team would help him a lot. And we know the shooting talent is in there, just like with Patrick Laine, who always seems to disappoint despite the talent. We know Besser is a raw shooter, is so gifted. And I would love to see him just spread his wings in the right situation, get a full season in, maybe score 40 goals. He's never even scored 30 just because of the lack of opportunities because of injury and shortened seasons. So I think there's still enough talent. He's 25 years old, that a team is going to be willing to take a chance. It might be complicated to make the money work. Vancouver takes a contract back, but I think it can happen.
And Matt does a great job covering general hockey in addition to fantasy. And we appreciate the shout out from earlier, but you yourself have also been churning out rankings for many, many years that people can compare to ours. So you're a great service to all hockey fans out there. So I wanted to get your take on Patrick Kane. Do you have a place where you could see him landing? I know it's been kind of a recurring conversation for months now. I thought he was going to get traded much earlier than this, but with the deadline a couple months away, wanted to hear your thoughts on where do you think he's going to land when it's all said and done.
And it has such serious fantasy implications. And Pete, I traded for him last week in my keeper league. He's an expiring contract. So my dad sold me on the fact, like, hey, you know, he's getting traded. I'm like, okay, fine. You're right. So I made a deal that got me Patrick Kane because I'm intrigued just as you are. And it's weird because there's been some reports this week that it's not a guarantee that he's going to waive his no movement clause. I don't understand why he wouldn't. Do you really want to be part of this culture now in Chicago? That whole franchise needs a fresh start. I know he's already won everything there is to win, but it's been a while since he's been in some really competitive situations. There's got to be some juices there, some fire to want to be in a winning situation again. So I predict he will waive it, and I think he will find a new home. I'm looking at the New York Rangers as the number one candidate to get him. They are desperate at right wing. That's why I mentioned them in the Brock Besser article. They have this revolving door. They've tried Lafreniere there, Capocaco, Sammy Blay, Jimmy Vesey. No disrespect to Jimmy Vesey, but Jimmy Vesey, they're going back to that well again. Vitali Kravtsov. I could just name everybody on the roster. They've had a chance at the right wing on those top two lines. So they desperately need someone like Patrick Kane, an elite scorer. And of course, we know there's already the excellent chemistry from the past with Artemi Panarin. So Panarin, Trocheck, Kane, that's a great line. I'd love to see it.
It writes itself. It really does. And I do think the New York area is where I'd hypothesize them to go. If it's not them, it's the Islanders, the New Jersey Devils. I want to see one of those three teams duke it out for Patrick Kane, because I think from a fantasy perspective, this guy's withering away, man. Like, where I drafted him, where most people drafted him, he's just not returning the value. If you have plus minus, you're getting eaten alive right now. And the production isn't there. But I think all you can do at this point in time, as you referenced, Matt, is just sort of take a wait and see approach and wait, hopefully, fingers crossed, he does get dealt, and then in time for the fantasy playoffs, right?
Exactly. I still think it's worth taking the plunge, because just when you look at the contract situation, I, for one, would be stunned if he's back next year. So there's a lot of motivation for Chicago to trade him, because you can get something really important for your rebuild. You're going to get a first round pick. You're going to get probably a prospect as well. It's going to be a massive return, especially considering Kane is one of the best clutch players of all time, right? I think that's not an exaggeration to say so. So you're not just getting an effective player. You're getting a proven winner who has delivered. He's a Conn Smythe Trophy winner. So I think any team will be willing to pay a significant price. It's very important for Chicago. So I think they're going to try to convince him to do it. And I think it's a fair bet to make in fantasy if you're speculating, which is why I did it. I traded one of my best keepers, Kevin Fiala, who has years left on his deal. And I brought in Patrick Kane and Taylor Hall, both rentals. So that was my thinking. So this is personal. This Patrick Kane discussion is near to my heart, because I went through all of these mental machinations last week.
And the Rangers are going through some tough times, but they've responded nicely this week with the comeback win against the St. Louis Blues. And then the big road win against the Golden Knights without Jack Eichel and Alex Pietrangelo, we should say, but they'll certainly take it with the first couple of months of the season that they've had. Matt, thanks so much for joining us, man. It was great to have you on for the first time, and definitely we'll do it again soon. Tell everybody where they could check out the podcast that you guys started over at Daily Faceoff.
Thank you, Pete. It's a pleasure, my friend. And yeah, the new show is Puck Poolies. It's going to be coming out every Tuesday. We'll take questions from listeners on Twitter and Facebook on Mondays. And yeah, it's going to be a regular Tuesday thing. Nice. Me and Stephen Ellis, and we're going to be bringing in guests, and I'll definitely invite you guys to our virtual house to come on and talk some more fantasy puck as well.
So Nick, we were talking so much about the good stuff with that Buffalo Columbus game. The bad stuff is that Patrick Laine is back from injury, and you know, it's the team is a train wreck really. So how do you view Patrick Laine? Someone was asking, should I drop Patrick Laine to pick up Matt Duchene, who's quietly heating up again after having such a big season last year for the Predators?
I'd probably hold on Patrick Laine. I just think the pedigree's there. The offense is there. And I think if there's one thing we'll see from Columbus in the second half is offense. I really don't read much into them defensively. There's no Werenski, but as long as Johnny Gaudreau's there, as long as Boone Jenner's there, I think the offense will be there. And I think the ceiling is too high to pass up on a guy like Patrick Laine. Would you feel the same way?
Yeah, it's interesting because he's such a high caliber goal scorer, and Johnny Gaudreau, his line mate frequently, is better than a point per game, even though the team's so bad. So even though they are a brutal team right now from top, not really from top to bottom, like from their second tier to bottom, Gaudreau is really good. Laine had two goals in the game last night and has had a really good shot volume this year, 46 in 12 games among the league leaders, among the top 20 in the NHL in that category. So I agree. I would hold on to Patrick Laine, but Duchene has been heating up lately without a doubt. A lot of people are also asking about the guy we mentioned earlier, Dylan Cousins. Should I drop Kopitar for Cousins? Should I drop Trocheck for Cousins? Should I drop Claude Giroux for Cousins, it's really tough when you like Trocheck to me is a guy that covers so many categories. His floor is just so high, but I would not drop like a Kopitar or a Drew, veterans like that who have been productive this year for Cousins. But it's tough to pass up Dylan Cousins right now with all the power play points playing on PP1 with all those big dogs in Buffalo, right?
Yeah, I think he's one of those guys you make room on your roster, even if that means adding an additional center. And, you know, that's the position obviously he plays with. I think you have to deal with that down the road. I think to answer the question, I would hold on all three fronts. In fact, I have Andrei Kopitar as sort of a guy whose buy low window is closing. His last seven games, 4 goals, 6 assists, 2 power play points, 1 game-winning goal. Like, those are established talents, taking nothing away from Dylan Cousins. But I just think we've yet to see the best out of those three players. So I don't know if it would be as wise to cut bait on them. Meantime, we got a question about my guy, Martin Jones. I've been tweeting about him a lot, man. I had to pull the trigger. He's gone off my fantasy roster. It's like 4-goal outing after 5-goal outing after 6-goal outing. I think Philip Grubauer is going to be the guy once again there in Seattle. And I think they're coming back to reality a bit. So it's drop Martin Jones and Lucas Raymond. What would you do, Pete?
It's amazing we're talking about dropping a guy like this from a team in Seattle that looks like a playoff team. He's 12-5-2, but the save percentage is just really bad. It's almost like what Matt was talking about with UPL. I mean, the guy has a winning record, but has a horrible save percentage in the 800s. So yeah, I hear you. I mean, I would probably hold on to Martin Jones just because there's not really much out there on the goalie front to replace him. Would I really drop Martin Jones for like a Charlie Lindgren or a Spencer Martin when I don't really trust those teams that much? At least, you know, the Kraken, a well-rounded play. They don't have a lot of injuries, really. And Grubauer, as good as he's been in the past, I don't really have much trust in Philip Grubauer. So I would hold on Martin Jones.
Dan Vladar is another guy I think you could target on the wire right now. And that means I think it's a pretty good buy low opportunity. Like, we have a question about Jacob Markstrom. I know you're maybe not as bullish, but I think you look at the track record. You look at the fact that he was in the Vezina conversation last season. You see the pedigree with the shutouts. I would do it. You know, I think it's a healthy risk this time here, considering how putrid he's been dating back to the Stanley Cup playoffs. But you have to think Jacob Markstrom's best hockey is coming in the second half, no?
I would think so. I think that with Vladar, I know we talked about it on the last show, but, you know, it keeps coming, right? Vladar got his 4th straight win, beat the Minnesota Wild yesterday. So, I mean, I think, like, and when you look at his age, he's only 25. If you could get a goalie with some upside that's 25 or younger, that's pretty rare in this league, especially to see those guys out there on the fantasy waiver wire. So that actually might be one guy that I would drop Martin Jones, like you said, compared to all those other like flailing options out there that I don't really trust. I do have a level of trust in Vladar and Calgary, whether it's Markstrom or Vladar, they're going to be in for a big second half this year after some underwhelming performances early on in the season.
1,000%. And to that point, the Jonathan Huberdeau buy low windows closing, ditto for Nazem Kadri. Mackenzie Weegar's a guy I would still target in the second half. Like, there's so much value in Alberta in general, not just the Calgary Flames. And there's a lot of guys delivering who weren't delivering, say, a couple of weeks ago, which leads me to who delivered the most in fantasy hockey this week, Pete. It's time now for the delivery of the week, brought to you by Skip, the official food delivery app of the NHL. Who do you have?
It's got to be Dylan Cousins, man. 4 straight multi-point games. He's had a bunch of power play points in that span. He's gone in the span of a week from being one of the many prospects in Buffalo with a decent level upside to being a part of probably the best offense in the league right now and being a fixture on it, not only for this year, but for the years to come. So it's just amazing to look at Dylan Cousins, how far we've come in just a matter of days for the Buffalo Sabres, who are really scoring goals with the best of them this season.
I love fire wagon hockey, and I love the fact that we actually brought up Dylan Cousins in our offseason talk about free agents and guys to target in our drafts. And he's really, really hit, as you know, Pete. My guy would be Philip Hronek of the Detroit Red Wings. This guy's an absolute machine. He's overtaken Moritz Seider on PP1. The last 10 games for Hronek, 5 goals, 9 assists, 14 points. He's been an absolute weapon for the Detroit Red Wings. Remember, for all your food delivery needs, use Skip. Skip is the official food delivery app of the NHL. Also, hit us up with a reply. Who delivered the most for you in fantasy hockey this week, Pete?
One more fan question before we wrap, Nick. And remember, everybody should hit us up on the NHL Fantasy Instagram and Twitter accounts whenever they want. And one of us or Waiver Wire James, somebody will tap in and get you in the right direction. But someone was asking, do we think Dylan Strom has staying power? He's doing a lot of damage in fantasy for the Washington Capitals right now. Only 26% rostered, 22 points in 28 games. But do we think that he's going to remain a big part of the offense when everybody gets healthy? Backstrom, Tom Wilson, Oshie, I know, is back. But when this team starts rolling, is he going to be a part of the equation?
That's a big when, Pete. Like, it remains to be seen when and if these guys will come back and at which point they'll come back. So I wish we had the long-term scope and could tell into the future. I think for the time being, at the very least, as long as there's attachment to who he's beside him right now on his line, I think, yeah, you have to be all in on Dylan Strome. Like, it goes without question. Long-term, I remain iffy on that conversation. He obviously overtakes a guy like Anthony Mantha, but once you start getting these guys back in their rightful positions, there's only so much room. There's only one puck to go around. So I wonder if Dylan Strome ultimately ends up in a third line position. But for the time being and for the foreseeable future, you got to be all over him, no?
Yeah, it's a really good point. Maybe at some point when you hear injury news, coming back, maybe you sell high if he keeps this up. But for now, let the good times roll and certainly pick him up in standard leagues if you haven't already. And Washington, a couple of nice wins to trend in the right direction after a really bad stretch. And Ovi is 100 away, right, from breaking Gretzky. Pretty amazing. Wanted to give him a shout out for that. And speaking of elite goal scorers, Nick, I know you had a big interview with Jason Robertson. Nice job, man.
My goodness. Thank you so much for the tee up. Yeah, the powers that be put me in charge of a one-on-one with Jason Robertson. I don't know why, but it was a lot of fun. Visit it. Check it out on YouTube. Leave a reply. Like it. Make me look good. Jason Robertson, the Dallas Stars, man, what an absolute weapon. We talked everything from Chell to his release, to his brother, to his family. It really, really was a lot of fun to do.
Very nice. As much as we were talking about Tage Thompson earlier in the show, Jason Robertson has been a star that has been born over the past two or three seasons and has taken it to another level this season. So we'll definitely be checking out that show over the weekend. Nick, reminder to check out the NHL Action Network collab for week 9 with Nick and Nick from earlier in the week. That was a great listen. And we'll be back at you this coming Monday for Waiver Wire for week 10. Have a great weekend, Nick.
You too, Petey.
All right. You've been listening to NHL Fantasy on Ice, presented by Skip, official food delivery app of the NHL. And we'll talk to you on the other side.